ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज always see what is auspicious. May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our praises unto thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have entered into the fourth question, fourth chapter of the Prashna Upanishad. Yesterday, I gave the background, recollecting what we discussed so far in the three chapters, three questions, very briefly, and I also laid a background. Really speaking, from this fourth chapter is starting what we call real Jnanakanda. The question is asked about the Turiyam. In this very chapter, the last question is, all these functions of both the body and mind of every creature in this whole world is made possible because of whom? And the answer is, resounding answer is, it is the Parabrahma, it is the Turiyam, and that is the only answer. Without further discussion, let us enter into this first mantra of the fourth chapter of the Prashna Upanishad. Adha Hainam Sauryayani गार्ग्यः पप्रच्छ भगवन् एतस्मिन् पुरुषे कानि स्वपन्ति कानि अस्मिन् जाग्रति कतर एष देवः स्वप्नान् पश्यति कस्य एतत् सुखं भवति कस्मिन्नु सर्वे संप्रतिष्ठाः भवन्ति इति। देन् दि ग्रैंडसन् आफ् सूर्य बोर्न् आफ् दि फैमिली of Garga asked Pippalada, the Guru, O adorable sir, Bhagavan, five questions we get. First, which are the organs that go to sleep in this person? Second, which are the organs that keep awake in him? Third question, who is that deity who creates experiences, all these dreams? Fourth, to whom occurs this happiness? Fifth, in whom do all these get merged? Let me give you a small background here. This is the fourth disciple. What is his name? So the grandson of Surya, therefore he is called Sauryayani, and he comes off from the family of Garga. Now, these two, the grandson of Surya and born of the family of Garga, is referring both to one person, the fourth disciple who came forward to put questions. Now, what we have to understand, grandson of Surya. In Indian mythology, Surya is called Aditya, and as we discussed in this very Upanishad, he is also called Prajapati, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Sutratma, so many other names are there. In Sri Ramakrishna's language, it is the Divine Mother, Shakti. What does it mean? Does Surya, does he get married? Of course, according to Puranas, he got married, he got children, etc. But here it means a worshipper of Surya. Remember, the family of Sri Ramachandra, they all belong to the Surya Vamsha. That is why Raghu Vamsha, Kalidasa, extols the Sri Rama's greatness and the whole lineage. Every one of them was very great. They are born of Surya Vamsha. We should not take it in the physical sense, that related to the worshipper. Like we say Shakta family, we say Vaishnava family, we have to understand. But here is the person, probably father, is called Garga. So he is called Gargyaha. And because he comes from the lineage of Surya, Sauryayani. Surya lineage, so Sauryayani. He is asking 5 questions of his guru. He is addressing the guru as Bhagavan. Bhagavan means he is Bhagavan. Why is he Bhagavan? Brahma Jnani. He becomes Brahma, Brahman himself. Whosoever has the knowledge of Brahman becomes a Brahman himself. Brahmavit, Brahma eva bhavati. That is why Ramakrishna is Bhagavan. Ramana Maharshi is Bhagavan. Nowadays, of course, every disciple wants to address his or her own guru. There is nothing wrong in paying really what we call respect, reverence, but we have to be careful. All are not Brahmagnanis at all, but we don't need Brahmagnanis also, because we are not, we don't, just like a high school student doesn't need the greatest mathematician, physician, Einstein, to teach him maths. But if a person is very sincere, that is more than sufficient. So what is this disciple called Gargyaha is asking? Henceforward, we will address this person as Gargyaha. Remember, in the Brihadaranyaka, there was a female called Brahma Gnani who was called Gargi. And Swami Vivekananda appreciated her, has highest reverence for her, Gargi. She challenged Yajnavalkya himself. And our Holy Mother is the Gargi. So, this Gargyaha, he asked, what is he asking about? He is asking about the state of the dream, the state of the deep sleep, and that which is beyond these two. Now, did he ask about the waking state? No. But it is implied in the very first question itself. We will see that one soon. O adorable one, O Bhagavan, O all-knowing one, you are certainly capable of answering because you are Brahmavit. And one who is a Brahmavit is a Brahman. And one who is a Brahman, he is Sarvajna. Esha Sarveshwaraha. Esha Sarvajnaha. We saw in the Mandukya Karika. Ishvara is Sarvajna. So, Bhagavan, what are the questions? The first question is, when we are experiencing dream state, certain organs do not function, as if they have become incapable of functioning. And what is referring? That is referring the state of the dream state. State of the dream. O adorable sir, which are the organs that go to sleep? By this question, it is also implied. Go to sleep means what? Suppose you see a dead person. You don't ask him, when is he going to get up? Because we know he will not get up. But when we see a person lying down, perhaps looking at his breathing process, we say he has gone to sleep. And then we ask him, when did he go to sleep? I want to meet him. When is likely to wake up? But that is what is coming. All these organs go to sleep. That means they are not dead. That means it is a temporary phenomena. That means very soon he is going to all these organs about which this question was put, which went to sleep, they are going to come awaken. And what are those organs? 5 sense organs of knowledge, 5 sense organs of action. Pancha Gnanendriyas and Pancha Karmendriyas. These 10 have gone to sleep. Have gone to sleep means what? When we see a person lying down and is not conscious of the waking state, we say he has gone to sleep. But really speaking, there are 2 states in that what we call, others call sleeping state. Maybe he is dreaming, maybe he is in deep sleep. But this is a closed book for everybody excepting that person. He may be dreaming, and now the question is about that dream state of that person. So whether it is a dream state or dreamless state, 5 physical sense organs of knowledge, 5 sense organs of action, both of them go to sleep. But there would be subtle sense organs of knowledge, subtle organs of action, just like in the waking state, in the dream state also, same phenomena happens, but it is all a combination, as we saw yesterday, of what we gather, the memories of the experiences that we had in the waking state. So this very question, first question, what are those organs that go to sleep in this person, is implied that they wake up soon, and when they wake up, it is called waking state, Jagradavastha. But in deep sleep, as well as in dream, they go to sleep because they do not function. But the difference between dream and deep sleep is, in dream state, there is a subtle world, there is a subtle body, subtle mind, sukshma sarira, through which, exactly like the waking state, the whole drama is going on. The whole cinema is going on. But in deep sleep, even that dreaming mind also goes to sleep. And that question will come again. So this is the clarification. There are some organs and the person is in a dream state. And what are those organs that do not function? That is the question. But even when the person is in dream state or in deep sleep state, there are certain functions, there are certain organs which cannot go to sleep, which will not go to sleep. What are they? You may be wondering. They are called prana. Prana will never go to sleep. What happens if prana goes to sleep? Then we will never wake up. But fortunately, prana works during the waking state, during the dream state, as well as during the deep sleep state. So the second question is, which are the organs, even when the other organs are asleep, in this, they keep awake in him. What are they? So that is very important for us to understand. Which organs keep awake in him during the dream state, by implication, during the deep sleep state also. And then the third question is, okay, there is this dream state, and there is a subtle body, there is a sukshma sarira, there is a sukshma prapancha, sukshma jagat. But who is it that really experiences? Because remember, one of the fundamental principles of Vedanta is the experiencer is always completely different from what he experiences. I know you have already heard this many times, but I want to recollect so that we will understand it, we can apply it every time this same subject comes up. For example, if you are seeing a tree, you are not a tree. No intelligence is needed to understand this. So this is the principle. Whatever we experience is not we. Unfortunately, we forget about this. I see a tree, I am not the tree. I see a house, I am not the house. I see a car, I am not the car. I see you, I am not you. But this is a crystal clear knowledge, and we behave accordingly. So mother is not father, father is not children, children is not parents, etc. Husband is not wife, wife is not husband, etc. But when it comes to the body, we mix up both. I experience the body and I am also the body. That is why it is very difficult to separate the idea, since I am experiencing the body. In what form? I am born, I am growing up, I am becoming old, and one day this body will go. But if I am the body, I will be gone forever. But that is not the case. How do we know? Only from the scriptures we know, and in our heart of hearts, we can never think of non-existence. This is a very peculiar thing. We can never think of non-existence. Even imagination, it is not possible. Okay. So, even when I am experiencing the bodily changes, I have become old, but I feel that I have become old. That is because of ignorance, avidya. But even worse, whatever takes place in the mind, antahkarana, I am experiencing. I see a thought. Now there is a thought of somebody hurting me. Then immediately there is a reaction that there is a thought of anger. So first there is an action, then there is a reaction, and I see it. That means I am experiencing it. But next moment, I become identified. I am insulted. I am angry. And that is what is the greatest obstruction. That is why it is said, manayeva manushyanam karanam vandamokshayuho. Now, this is the fundamental principle. Whatever I am experiencing, whether it is an outside object in the external world, if it is my own body in the external world, if it is my own mind which is in the internal world, whatever I am experiencing, I am not that. Apply it further and say, that means I experience waking state, therefore I am not the waking state, I am not the waker. I experience the dream state, I am the dreamer, but I am not the dreamer really. I experience the deep sleep state called prajna, because I experience, I am not the deep sleeper, I am not the sleeper, simply. Then comes, I am something which is totally different, distinct from the waker, dreamer, and dreamless. And what is the common thing? Everything in these three states are limited by desha, kala, and vastu, by time, by space, and by another object. Since I am not separate, I am not any of them, I am totally separate from them, therefore, I am not limited. That should be the realization that will come. Anyway, what is the fundamental principle? Whatever I experience, I am not. and we clearly understand it with regard to many things outside our body mind. The second following principle, fundamental principle, following the first fundamental principle is this. Whatever qualities belong to the experienced object, they belong to the experienced object, they do not belong to me. For example, you see a mango and the mango is sweet. The sweetness belongs to the mango. You see a lemon and lemon is sour and acidic. That sourness, thus that acidic quality belongs to that. That lemon is yellow color and that yellow color belongs to the lemon, not to me. So if the body is getting old, it is a characteristic quality of the body. Since it is body's quality is to be born, to grow up, to change, to become old, what we call sixfold changes. Therefore, I am not my all those changes because I am not the body and whatever qualities belong to the body is not me. Same thing we have to apply to the mind. Sometimes I am happy, sometimes not. Sometimes I understand, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel miserable, sometimes I feel happy. Sometimes I feel I am bound, sometimes I feel I am free. All these are feelings, emotions, thoughts belonging to the mind. Therefore, I experience them. Therefore, I am not the mind. I am not happiness or unhappiness. I am not good or evil. I am totally different. And these are the two fundamental principles we can understand. Where is it going to lead us? If we can practice this, it is the body-mind complex which experiences the waking state. It is mind in its two formations. One is the subtle formation called dream state. Another is causal formation that is called sleep state. It is these states the mind experiences. Since I experience through the mind and mind experiences the dream as well as the deep sleep, and since I experience the mind, these two states belong to the mind and I am not neither the dreamer nor the sleeper. I am very sure you understand this, at least intellectually, but we have to practice very, very slowly. That is why when somebody complained to Sri Ramakrishna that, sir, why does God make us so unhappy? Why so much of suffering is created? Sri Ramakrishna smiled and asked, who are you, sir? If you are different from God, then what God is making to you, you can say, you can charge him that whether he gives you happiness or unhappiness, but the peculiarity is, when we are happy, we don't charge him. Only when we are unhappy, we charge him. And that is not good. And that is what is implied here, that there are some organs which do not sleep even when we are dreaming or dreamless sleep. That is the second, what is called second question. Which organs keep functioning and are awake in him? And third question, which is the deity who experiences dreams? It is the mind endowed with Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness, called Jivatma, that experiences the dreams, that experiences the waking state, that experiences the deep sleep state. By implication, we have to add these three. So, is it Atma who experiences? No. Is it the mind which experiences waking, dream and deep sleep? No. Because, remember, the mind by itself cannot experience because it is Jada, Anatma. Is it then Jivatma without the help of the mind? The Jivatma is called reflection in the mind. If there is no mind, there is no Jivatma. Therefore, it is a combination of reflected consciousness plus mind plus body, and that is the definition of Jivatma. Who is Jivatma? The reflection of Atma, Chidabhasa, in the mirror of the mind. That means pure consciousness plus mind plus body, that is called Jivatma. So who experiences Jivatma is who experiences waking state. It is Jivatma who again experiences the dream state. It is Jivatma who again experiences in a much more causal way the deep sleep state. So that is what we have to understand. Which is the deity who experiences dreams? I will come to the details very soon. And then what happens? These three questions. Which organs do not function in the dream state? Which organs function in the dream state? And who is that blessed being who experiences all these three states? They are the three questions. But this is related to the dream state. Especially, who is that deity who experiences dreams? Here that Jivatma is called that deity, Deva. Why is he called Deva? I will come to the explanation very soon. And what happens when this very Jivatma, when he gives up waking state, enters into the dream state? That is what these three questions are. And the first question implies about the waking state also. Now, fourth question is, here is about the deep sleep state called Sushupti. Now, to whom occurs this happiness? Instead of asking who is the one who is experiencing dreamless state, a question is put in this peculiar way, to whom or who experiences this happiness? Why this peculiarity? Because in the Sushupti state, that is called Anandamaya Kosha, from the beginning of the Sushupti until the end of the Sushupti, the only experience a person says is happiness, ananda. That's why when a person comes out of that Sushupti state, that means he wakes up from deep sleep, what does he say? Sukham aham asvapsam. He says, I have slept happily. And how much time, sir, did you sleep? As long as I was in the deep sleep state, I was very happy. Did you experience any unhappiness? No, I never experienced. So if a person is asleep, deeply asleep, not dreaming, for 8 hours, 12 hours, his bliss, his happiness is unbroken, 12 hours of continuous happiness. And that is why it is said, after all, the goal of life is to go to sleep. A funny way of saying, we want to be very happy. We get both happiness and unhappiness in the waking state. We get both happiness and unhappiness in the dream state. And we get only perhaps 1% of happiness, 99% of unhappiness in the waking state. And the same thing happens in the dream state also. You may ask now, what do you mean by 1% happiness and 99% unhappiness? Every type of pleasure that we call happiness is, I am calling pleasure, that we experience in the both waking and dream states are 1% pleasure or happiness, 99% is what is called suffering or unhappiness. I will illustrate to you. You want to eat a rasagulla. Well, for that purpose, you are at work very hard, or your father, or your grandfather, or your great-grandfather. And then, day and night, what we call pasina, so much of sweating, and then he earns money. And then what do you need to do? You inherited lot of wealth. What do? Take some money. And then, of course, you say that I am sending a servant. And the servant goes out, or maybe a servant prepares it. The whole preparatory time, you cannot enjoy it. You can anticipate it, but you cannot enjoy it. And then comes the other portion, which is highly imaginative, but absolutely true. And somebody has brought or prepared for you, let us assume, a very good quality sweet, and then you sat down and you are hungry and you eat. How much time, how much happiness does it give you? If a rasagulla is weighing, let us say 20 grams, do you get 20 grams happiness? No, sir. Only 1% happiness you get if every other condition is completely fulfilled. Now ask yourself a question. Okay, I do not get this happiness, only 1% happiness. Why do you call it 99% unhappiness? Because to obtain that sweet, you have to take so much trouble. And even when it is put in front of a plate in front of you, you have to bend down, you have to use your hand and bring it to the mouth, and it must touch the tongue, and your teeth, natural or artificial, have to chew that particular sweet, and then a little bit of that happiness comes, 1%, 1 second, and rest is only labor, chewing, swallowing, chewing, swallowing, etc. And if you choke, in between, you have to push it with a piston called a drink. Okay, is the story ended there? No. After eating, then who has to digest? Very peculiar thing. If you eat, you have to digest. If you eat one sweet, you have to digest. If you eat two sweets, you have to digest. Whatever you have eaten, you have to digest. And is this a labor or not? So for one momentary happiness, you are working before, you are working afterwards. That is why I said 1% happiness and 99% unhappiness. Does it complete the description? No. What is the other description? Okay, supposing it is a very nice sweet, well prepared, and then you eat it, you get very good happiness, 1% remember, and then starts the trouble. I want it again. This I want it again without having it, that falls under which category? Happiness or unhappiness? Anyway, this is what happens, both in the waking state as well as in the dream state. But in contrast, see what happens. The moment we fall automatically. You cannot work hard. You can only surrender yourself to deep sleep. And when you surrender, what happens? This, you immediately enter into a state of happiness. Until you come out of it, not one single second break between entering and exiting. That is why Sushupti is the most desired state. And when the Sushupti experience is experienced consciously, it is called Samadhi. Unconsciously, involuntarily, when we experience Sushupti, it is called Sushupti. And voluntarily, consciously, under our control, when we experience, it is called Samadhi state. That is the difference. So the fourth question is about this Sushupti avastha. Who is that person who is experiencing this continuous happiness from the time he enters until the time he gets out? And the answer is, it is that same Jivatma, but in his aspect as Bhagavan, Parabrahma. That is the second. How many questions? First question is about dream. Second question is about deep sleep. First, second and third questions are about dream, swapnavastha. Fourth question is about the happiness, and that is about the sushupti state, deep sleep state. Now, what is remaining? We assume waking embedded in the question of dream. So, waking, dream, dreamless, we have finished. What is remaining? The fourth pada. What is the fourth pada? Finally, all these three states, the waking, the dream, and the dreamless. Where do all these get completely merged? The answer is Turiyam. The answer is Atman. The answer is Brahma. This is the brief explanation. Now we will go into slight details because I have already explained it. So, this Gargya, who is of the lineage of Surya, the sun god, he is asking five questions. Bhagavan, etasmin purushe kani swapanti. It is not there, etasmin purushe kani. What are those organs which are sleeping? That means that which is those organs which are functioning in the waking state. When the same person enters into the dream state, some of these do not function. What do not function? The physical body doesn't function. And what is the physical body consisting of? Five sense organs of knowledge and five organs of action and reaction, knowledge, or what we call action. That is, the hands, the feet, etc. That description will come later on. We will see that one. So, what are the organs that are sleeping? The 10 organs. What are those 10 organs? The five of the knowledge, five of the action. So, they are there. That is the answer to the first question. What are the organs that are not functioning? That means that are sleeping. What is the second question? And Kani Asminjak, what are the organs that keep awake even in this dream as well as dreamless state? We have to presume like that. What are the organs, Karanani, that sleep in the deep sleep or in the dream state? All the five organs of knowledge and five organs of action, that is physical body. Kani Karanani Jagrati, which are the organs which are awake? Because if they are not awake, awake means functioning. If they do not function, life will come to an end. You understand now, in Sanskrit, life means prana. So it is the prana, it functions in the waking state, it functions in the dream state, it functions in the dreamless state also. And when a person is in samadhi also, the same prana will function until the body is given up. So, this is the question that is asked here, that what are the second question here? What are those organs which keep awake? The answer is pancha pranas. Pancha prana. Five functions of the prana. What are they? Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. It is they, in spite of the dream state, they function, they keep the physical body alive, and they make the dreaming also possible. Suppose there is no prana. Can your mind think? No. And if your mind is not enlivened by prana, can it undergo either dream state or deep sleep state? Absolutely no. But it is the pranas. We have seen earlier in this very Prashna Upanishad that when all the other organs were fighting, we are superior, prana said, you are fools, it is I who divide myself into five, panchada, and then I function, it is I that enliven you. Without me, you would not exist. And those other organs did not believe. Prana wanted to teach them a lesson. What did the Prana do? Immediately it made as if to depart. The moment it slight effort was made by Prana to get up, immediately as if the root of a huge tree to the very, very bottom has been completely taken out. Every organ became weak. And then they understood. Without Prana, we are nothing. With Prana, we can function. It is useless to become egotistic. Immediately, Pranastuti comes. We have seen in the second chapter, we have seen its Upasana in the third chapter. And so, we are coming to the fourth chapter. In dream state, the Pranas keep awake. And we have to understand and add it that it is also awake, not only in the dream state, but in the waking state, as well as in the dream state, as well as in the deep sleep state. Why? Because after the Sushupti state is over, again we wake up. And if in between Pranas take leave, then we will never wake up, and that would be the end of life. So, Kataraha Esha Devaha Swapnan Pashyati. That is the third question that is given. And it is said that I already gave that it is the mind which is enlivened by Chidabhasa that undergoes. That is why it is said, Manayeva Manushyanam Karanam Bandhamokshayuhu. It is the mind which experiences the waking, which experiences the dream, which again experiences the deep sleep. But I mentioned now, mind is jada, inert, just like body. How can it experience? If it is experiencing, that means it is conscious. I am seeing, I am hearing, and I am enjoying, I am suffering. Something must be conscious. And that consciousness doesn't belong to the mind. But it is functioning as if it has got consciousness. And so we have to say, this doesn't belong to you, this belongs to pure Atman. But that pure Atman doesn't do anything here, but it is reflected in the Satvikamsha of the mind, and that is called Chidabhasa, reflected consciousness. So reflected consciousness along with the mind and the body experience these three states continuously, one after the other. So it is the mind, when we say mind, Jivatma, with the consciousness, that is what we have to understand. Then, Kasya Tat Sukham Bhavati. The fourth question is about Kasya Tat Sukham Bhavati. That means, this is a question about the Sushupti. When the person enters into the Sushupti state, as we described just now, heard just now, it is from the beginning to the end, it is only bliss and bliss. Who is it that experiences? Because this is also an experience. How do we know? Upon waking up, this person says, I enjoyed a sweet. I suffered from illness. Since the person is experiencing, he is not happiness, he is not illness. Similar thing we have to apply. If I have experienced so much of bliss, that means I am separate. But that is a different question. That we will come very soon. So who is it? It is the Jivatma. And again, that reflected consciousness, which is borrowed from pure consciousness, and it is that being who enters into the Sushupti Avastha. The fourth question is about the Sushupti experience, and Sushupti means unbroken happiness until it lasts. Who is it that experiences this unbroken happiness? And we have to say, it is the same mind along with the reflected consciousness. It is the waking is one state, dream is another state, but the difference here is that there is no avidya is functioning only in the covering aspect, not the vikshepa shakti, not the scattering aspect. But that is why everything is blissful as in darkness. Even if, and I said yesterday, if a tiger is sleeping about 2 pounds upon you in deep sleep, you are happy, happiness itself, because you do not know anything about it. This is the state of the Sushupti who experiences. It is the same mind called Jivatma, which is endowed with reflected consciousness. That is what he said. Sushupti kale sakale viline tamobhibhutaha sukharupameti. In Kaivalya Upanishad, we get this. Sushupti kale, in the time of Sushupti, at the time of Sushupti, deep sleep, sakale viline, the body and mind, they as it were resolve themselves into this deep sleep state. Tamo abhibhutaha. Tamaha means everything becomes one as it were, not really, but as it were, the subject and object, experiencer and experienced, the knower and the known. And the, what is the result? Sukharupam eti. It is bliss and bliss and bliss, nothing but bliss. So this is about the Sushupti state who experiences Jivatma by turns, experiences the waking, the dream and the dreamless state. And then the last question is about, is there something beyond the waking, dream and dreamless deep sleep? Yes. Kasminnu sarve sampratishtita bhavanti. That all these organs, the body, the mind, which are jadas, which are functioning and experiencing all the three states with the help of the borrowed consciousness called reflected consciousness, and the whole lot, where do they come from and where do they merge, they resolve themselves? And the answer is that in its what you call substratum, which is called Turiyam, which is called Atman, which is called Brahman, that is Adhishtana Rupa Turiye Sarve Sampratishtita Bhavanti. All these become completely merged. I have given you the example, but again I will give you. I want you to remember so that I don't need to work so hard. Supposing 100 pots are made out of what? Clay. So are there two objects? One is called clay, another is called pots. No, there is no such second object, independent object, because if you separate clay from the pot disappears. Because a pot is only clay with some particular name and form and utility. So it is nothing but clay. Suppose you break the pot. Now you are Kali. Breaking the pot means what? You have destroyed the form, name, utility. And what does it remain? It remains as clay. That is called resolving back into its cause. Suppose you made lot of ornaments through gold, pure gold, and then you melt them and they lose all their separate names. Yatha namarupe vihaya nadyah samudrameva avigachanti. We have seen earlier, there may be a 5-6 rivers, then Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Godavari, Kaveri, Brahmaputra, etc. When they join the ocean, and as soon as they touch the ocean, this is Ganga, this is Kaveri, this is Krishna, this is Godavari, and this is Brahmaputra. Everything, Rupa is gone, and Nama is gone, and their utility is also gone. And what do they become? Pure ocean, Samudram eva avigachanti. The fence forward, they are known as Samudra. Like that, like the all the golden ornaments, when they are melted, broken, they resolve back, Resolve means really they do not resolve back. They lose their names, forms and utility. Similarly, all the furniture, when it is broken, it will be henceforward known as wood. When all the ornaments are broken, henceforward, it will be known as gold. Not they will be known. It will be known as gold. Similarly, when all the pots, different objects made out of clay are broken, and what remains is known, not as broken pots, but as clay. So that ultimate cause into from which we have all come and unto which we are traveling with very fast speed, called evolutionary escalator, that is called Thuriyam, that is called Brahman. So the answer to the fifth question is, everything, living, non-living, whether it is amoeba, whether it is a small crawling worm, whether it is a tree, whether it is bird, whether it is animal, whether it is lower human being, highly civilized human being, ultimately our destination is to become one with that pure Thuriyam, and that is the answer. And what is this question about? This question about is, please analyze, let us analyze, O Bhagavan, tell us clearly the answer. That means you tell us clearly about what consists of the waking state, what consists of the dream state, what consists of the dreamless state, and finally, where from all these have come? From Thuriyam. And therefore, there is a law. The effect must resolve back into the cause. It is inevitable sooner or later. When time is removed, when space is removed, when causation is removed, desha, kala, desha, nimitta, then what remains is called karana. And when these three intervene, it is called karya. So, avasthatraya viveka, discrimination between waking, dream and dreamless. So, this was the question, five questions, three questions about dream, which includes the question about waking state. How does it come? That is, some organs are sleeping in dream state. By implication, some organs are functional, awake, and that is called waking state. So, first three questions about the dream state. Fourth question about the Sushupti Avastha, dreamless, deep sleep state. And the last question, fifth question, is about all these three states, along with their divisions, subdivisions, they all merge back and they go back. For this, now the teacher has to answer. So, another important point we have to remember is, according to Advaita Vedanta, the waking state is not different from dream state, because the perceiving mechanism, that is the mind, it is the same, that is to say, the mind along with reflected consciousness, when it takes advantage of the 10 dasha indriyas, 5 of knowledge and 5 of action, it is called waking state. And when the same mind, with the help of the imbued with the reflected consciousness, functions in the mind, where the physical 10 organs of senses and action do not really function, but the subtle 10 object, 10, 5 of senses and of knowledge, 5 of action, because in dream also we experience same thing like the waking state. But upon waking up, we realize it is all imagination. That should be applied to waking state, because when we go to dream state, what is the status of the waking state? Like a dream state. And when we come out of the dream state, what is the status of the dream state? Unreal dream state. So, from the viewpoint of the waking state, dream is an unreal state, mere imaginations. From the viewpoint of the dream state, the waking state is equally unreal, and that is what is implied in the very first question itself. And to this, now Pippalada, the guru, has to answer. And that beautifully is answered in the second mantra. Tasmai saha uvacha yatha gargyaha marichayo arkasya astam gachataha sarvaha etasmin tejo mandale eki bhavanti taha punaha punaha udayataha pracharam tyeva havai tat sarvam parideve manasi eki bhavati tena tarhi esha purushaha na shrunoti na pashyati na jigrati na rasayate na spruśate na abhivadate na adatte na anandayate na visrujate na iyayate swapiti iti achakshate. To him, the disciple Gargya, what did Pippalada reply? O Gargya, just as is giving an example. First, let us see this example, read out, and then understand the example. Just as all the rays of the setting sun become unified in this orb of the light, and they disperse from the sun as it rises up again. Similarly, all that becomes unified in the high deity called the mind. What was the answer? That when the sun rises in the morning, before it was dark, and as the sun rises, slowly the sun rays come out. Sun and sun rays are one and the same. As the rays slowly become, first they are dim, they are bright, they are brighter, they are the brightest. The whole world appears to us for all our, especially the eyes, etc., become. And when the same sun is setting, what happens? Bright light becomes brighter light becomes bright light becomes dim light becomes still dimmer, and finally darkness comes. So what happened? All the rays, having illumined the world from the morning, slowly they go back into the sun. They go back into the sun. Why? Because they came from the sun. So morning, they come out of the sun, and after setting up the sun, all those things go back. Just like that, when the mind enters into the dream state, what happens? As if all the 10 organs, as if when we are in the waking state, the 10 organs come out and illumine the whole world for us. And when the same Purusha, that is the mind, enters into the dream state, all the 10, what is called physical senses, they go back, merge itself into the mind, and that is what is called sleeping. So with this example, Bhagavan Pippalada is trying to answer some of these questions. And then what happens? After some time, he goes out of this dream state also. And then what happens? He enters into the deep sleep state. And this is a marvelous idea. And this we will discuss in our next class. Remember, this is a beautiful analysis of the waking, dream and dreamless state. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.